Hello, I'm back.
Hi, Sham Sham
Hello,
Bamina.
I'm back, all sorry.
Right. Hey, Sham Bam Bamina.
I don't know how that happened.
I'm killing you,
okay,
McGinn.
Okay, there's our front bumper. There's our front bumper right there.
Hello, and welcome to Extra Credit, the Robert Kopp podcast. The snakes in the ball pit tonight are Ganymede.
Originally, I wanted to call this book Prostitution and Gambling in the Animal Kingdom, or Selective Listening for Litigation Purposes.
Good titles.
Catchy. Ash 2?
When Rebecca and Guestline learned that their great-great-grandfather mansion was being illegally sold to a shady developer, they enlist the help of a real 200-year-old ghost and his shipmates, get taken back in time to meet their own great-great-grandfather in the midst of battle, uncover a crooked deputy, corrupt city officials, a hidden treasure, historical artifacts, and save the mansion from destruction. They also discover why the ghost was afraid of the dark.
Sherman Tank?
Professional analysis of writing throughout the Bible proves that the handwriting is that of Adolf Hitler.
Vinny Pasa.
From a new kind of numerology that I've been working on that I've created for Christians. I turn Pindo and Flo, author Dwayne W. Anderson, you, Queen Latifah, are just negative 2 days older than Mr. Pindo and Flo!
Sham Bam Bamina.
There is no dream too extreme.
Radical.
And Amelia Blank. Go. Post your glacier watch, mount towers, build fires, and stand ready with alarms upon the ramparts. I see things move along the gray horizon of our freedom, shrinking our world, feeding upon our warmth, devouring our love, freezing our dignity. Myth, fly, sex, boardroom, bottom line, my friend, welcome to the ice machine, your friend, TikTok. Hi there, Extra Credit.
Hi, Miss Blank.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello again.
Would you say you guys are, I don't know, very literarily aware? Like, you guys up on the new releases? Or are you reading classics? Or
I just finished this magnificent novel called Sonic the Hedgehog World War II Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's the plot of that one?
That was a New York bestseller, wasn't it?
Definitely.
I've been reading a self-published book called Wild Animus.
Self-published?
Why, yes.
Thank you for the segue!
I've actually been reading a self-published book called War of the Archangels, The Satanic Uprising by Chris Robinson, which is even more of a segue.
That's a very specific segue.
Thank you for the very specific segue.
I will segue you into the ground, motherfucker.
Sorry.
So, Sham Bam Bamina made a doc for us, about iUniverse books. What exactly is iUniverse, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, if anybody remembers F Plus episode 227, that was about America's Starbucks, and this is basically the major player to which America Star is a very minor player. There's a million books that people have submitted for publication on demand because they couldn't get accepted to an actual publisher.
Also, if anyone remembers that episode, what the fuck are you doing listening to this, alright? Just throw stuff out there.
Exactly. Like, my document there is much better than my document here. And
give up, go home.
Look,
I'm actually kind of embarrassed.
This is not
now.
The worst document we've tried to make an episode on, believe me.
Fair enough.
So you mentioned War of the Archangels. Why don't you go ahead and give us some information about that from this lovely,
all right,
very, very bland website?
Yes, it is rather bland, and also it's weird because when I was doing the America Star Books document, I actually cast about for a couple of websites. There's iUniverse, there's Ex Libris, there's a bunch of them, and they all have pretty much the they have different CSS, but the actual structure of the website is almost identical. They have the exact same categories that you can browse, nested in the exact same way. It's really weird. It's like they're all run by the same people or using the same off-the-shelf template. I don't know what's going on.
I can't help but notice that they all look a hell of a lot like Amazon.
But this I specifically chose because I recently found at a used bookstore a book called War of the Archangels, and it is an iUniverse book. And so I was thinking about that. I thought, well, you know what? Amelia needs a document for a recording today. Might as well go to that website. So, yeah. But War of the Archangels is a very interesting book by Chris Robinson, and here are his words.
Oh God! Look at that cover.
Yeah. It's really as impressive as it is on the website. It's even more impressive in the flesh.
Is that
or,
Spock
or the pulp, so to speak? No. I don't even know who you're asking that about because nobody really looks like
the
Spock
guy
on
the thing. The guy on the right.
The guy in the back. Was, the guy looks like Gene Simmons fucked Snape.
Yes, that
I can barely.
That is a good description. Yes,
we're not going to get
a better
description
than that. The guy in the hood, the guy in the
blue. The guy in blue has like a Triforce on his chest, so I assume he's Link.
So why don't you give us some information on your book, Chris Robinson?
Oh yes, I am actually Chris Robinson. Sorry to relay this information to you so late in the game. Let's just get to the blurb that was written not by me, but by a marketing professional who is paid to market my work for me because I'm a legitimate author. Eons ago, God created the terrestrial universe filled with billions of galaxies for the angelic citizens of heaven, who cultivated these innumerable planetary systems and created vast empires. The archangels ruled these galactic realms under God's directives and governmental system known as, comma, the United Federation of Kingdom Nations.
Oh God, it is Spock.
Lucifer, whose heart became wrought with sin, sparked a revolution of destruction, taking with him one-third of the angels, creating the Unholy Six Galactic Alliance. The fallen ones were turned into hideous red dragons called, comma, Draco-Reptilians, comma, known as the Draconians, comma, who waged an all-out war throughout the kingdom in the hopes of taking the very throne of heaven.
You gotta use all three names to refer to them, or they don't know who you're talking about.
Now, when it says Lucifer's heart became wrought with sin, that's not an adjective or an an adjective.
Oh, yeah.
It became red with sin because
it's
he forgot
the
to translate it from
yeah,
German.
It's German. I am a polyglot. To counter the supreme serpentine hyphen dragon, Satan, the dark sorcerer of Rahab, Yeshua established the Guardian Knights, led by Michael, who traversed the universe waging war against the evil empire and delivering liberty, freedom, and justice to all. And so it begins.
One
so
nation under God, for one which it stands, one nation.
Yes.
We established three different names for the dragon people, and then used a fourth one in the very next paragraph.
Yes. My world building is just overflow. My cup runneth over.
Yeah, sure does.
I think I know less about the book than I did before.
I think there are psytrans in this book.
There might be.
Could you give me a little bit of information about you, George Robinson?
Chris Robinson is my name.
Or Chris Robinson? Sorry.
Should I read from the website or from the back of the book? I mean, it's the same text either way. But...
About the author.
Yeah. Chris Robinson is an inspiring... Excuse me. I am
no,
inspiring.
No, he's not. Oh, he's
I am
not.
Inspiring, but I am also an aspiring filmmaker and accomplished actor, author, and songwriter.
Accomplished actor?
Yes, yes.
Let's see, Chris...
You may have seen... I played Macbeth at the Royal Shakespeare Company.
It's called the Scottish Play, damn it.
Chris Robinson is an aspiring filmmaker and accomplished actor, author, and songwriter... who grew up in the world of George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Marvel Comics, John Wayne, and Church.
Wait, we all grew up in that world. Oh God, we are all Chris Robinson.
Chris Robinson grew up in a Church's chicken.
No, no, I grew up in the world of George Lucas, so I grew up on Tatooine.
So you didn't, so you aren't the writer-producer of Charcoal Black, a 1972 film?
I might be?
Well, let's see. That's the first Chris Robinson that shows up on IMDb.
I mean, my body of work is so vast. It's hard to keep track of all the projects I've involved myself in. However, it is this wonderful diverse world which propelled Chris to write this sweeping epic.
As in, you sweep it under the rug.
this particular one.
Yes, not the world of George Lucas, but the wonderful diverse world in which we all live. Diversely.
It's George Lucas's world. We're just living in it.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm gonna put your book right here on the fridge. Ganymede.
Yes.
Could you read what the tale begins?
Yes, you see, I'm clever, so it's not a tale like a story you'd think it would be, because we're talking about stories, but I've even put helpful quotation marks around it. It's T-A-I-L. I am J. Bird Wells, and I'm here to tell you about this and further literary innovations in my book, The Quote-Unquote Tale Begins, Tales from School, Book 1.
I like how your cover looks like the Hardy Boys are getting swatted.
My cover looks like a government raid on that experiment where they had the lady living with the dolphin. drowning in medical debt, Jane Flynn is an indentured servant to the IV Scissor King, a rogue scientist who threatens the purity of the human race. Okay, so we've got a purity threatening and indentured servitude in literally the first sentence of this. I'm feeling unsettled. The dog uses a... Huh?
Also, the king of scissoring.
Well, yes.
Now, that's I dot V dot, so I think it's Ivan Vasilevich Scissor King.
It's true. I see you've read my book. The doc uses a rare catfish DNA, just the one, to change his subjects into human electric cave catfish, or HECC for short.
Heck!
What? One heck of a human electric cave catfish.
So which do you think came first, the acronym or the name?
Yeah, you're going to need that abbreviation because we're going to be talking a lot about human electric cave catfish. Deep inside Snake's Rock, exotic pet shop.
I only shop at pet shops that have a colon in the title.
Jane is required to monitor the huge upright tanks that house the kidnapped individuals, including Hope, who has caught his eye. Unable to stop what happens to the other test subjects, Jane knows he must somehow save Hope or die trying. Do you guys get the symbolism? I didn't put quotes around Hope because I was thinking maybe that one could be more subtle.
You know, I was thinking this was going to be another Hideo Kojima game, but now I think it's just somebody watched Firefly, because why else would a man be named Jane?
I don't like this new 50 Cent album. Save Hope or Die Trying.
Well, give it a chance. Give it a chance. We're only halfway through the description. It gets better. As Jane struggles with his own physical changes, he discovers his heart has also changed.
Does it also become a catfish heart?
No, he's going through puberty during the course of the book. Okay. It's like a coming-of-age novel. He not only wants a home for himself, but for the others like him, who are no longer considered human in the 21st century.
Eh?
Ooh. Their biggest desire is the freedom to live and thrive within a world that refuses to accept them with their gills and tails. Since Hope can no longer walk, her love for Jane is clouded by her jealousy. Jane has the gills, but lacks the tails.
What?
Know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's what the title's about.
That old adage?
Oh. See, I assumed it was just, like, that sexist term for getting laid.
Well, no, see, the carpets don't really match the drapes, I think is what I'm saying here.
Your right. Gills don't match the tails.
Right. Her natural hair color doesn't match up with the bottom half of her body, which is a literal fish. Those that struggle with bigotry could bring about the human electric cave catfish's destruction, but all Hope can think about is awakening from her coma with Jane's lips pressing against hers.
Is it really possible to think about getting out of a coma?
Is she currently in a coma throughout all this?
I hope so. The alternative is being awake and witnessing all of it.
Well, it's weird because... Okay, so Jane knows he must somehow save Hope. Hope catches his eye. That's Hope can no longer walk. It's never introduced that she's in a coma. But then she's awakening. It's like the piss fight from the F plus, what was Omurashi episode, where it's like they were always waking up, but never actually.
Yeah, I cribbed most of this story from the X-Men, but I cribbed the ending from Mario 2.
That's the crossover we've all been wanting.
Right?
You see, Hope is in a coma because she was so jealous of Jane because she's not a natural Redfin.
Okay. Fuck you.
Despite the humans' ban against human electric cave catfish relationships, do they dare fall in love?
No.
I think they already dared.
While in a coma.
I would like to thank the author, J. Bird Wells, for publishing this on my 25th birthday.
You're so welcome. It is my debut book, and I waited for that exact date for that exact reason. And you still haven't read it. I'm crushed, honestly.
Sorry, Jay. Don't really need to know about the author. It's generic, like, she's from Kansas.
I mean, long story short, I'm a human electric cave catfish, and I'm finally telling my story.
I think a book that is worth reading about would be maybe Jack A. Hancock's The Cloud, Unusual Story.
All right. Ash, too, you want to read The Cloud?
Not really, but I figured I'd make me. Fine.
Do it! God.
Hey, this is Jack A. Hancock. So, my book is The Cloud and The Unusual Story, I guess. In the year 2110, something strange is happening on Earth. The color yellow has mysteriously disappeared from the world tingy with... why is there a hyphen there?
Yeah, that's a hyphen. It should be a dash, but it's actually the world taking that you're talking about.
Did you straight up steal the J.J. Abrams Enterprise and put it on your fucking book?
I think it looks like it. He stole it and chopped off the nacelles and it put an American flag on the cover.
Original spaceship, do not steal.
Well, also, I'm pretty sure the date is the same as the date from Zero Wing.
No, it's 2110, not 2101. And I will go commit suicide for...
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Mixed up a digit.
So yeah, the color yellow has mysteriously disappeared from their world-taking, with it much of the sun's warmth and leaving the earth in peril of freezing. If you steal yellow, people freeze.
No yellow, people freeze. How do you not get this?
That's why the Green Lantern is made of ice.
This is basic color theory.
Wait. What?
You heard him.
Yeah.
It's basic color theory, Amelia.
Okay.
Let me continue. Maybe it'll make sense in time.
Okay.
Colonel Aaron Post, a former Air Force pilot and wife, Janice, a retired Attorney General.
He's
a wife? I mean...
Yeah, he's a former Air Force pilot and wife.
I am totally okay with, you know, people have we gotta throw off traditional gender roles here.
I guess so, yeah. That's fine.
So I guess he was transgender. He used to be Aaron. Now he's Janice.
Nah, he's just a wife.
Maybe he just. I think he might be like gender fluid and just kind of both on certain days.
Did he marry himself?
Yes. Tell me about Janice here. Let's kick off.
Janice is a retired Attorney General of the United States, and they are both summoned to Washington D.C. by the President.
Attorney General Janice.
Yeah.
Janice Post. Let's be fair. Like, her surname has been established because Aaron is her husband.
Aaron is the heir to the Post fortune.
It's a cricket joke.
Sorry, I had it, the joke in my head, but my mouth wouldn't say it. Yeah.
So, together with a group of experts, the Colonel, as he's now called, is tasked with preventing the end of civilization. What?
I would have thought preventing the end of civilization was something would be a flag officer's billet.
No, I think that's an admiral's job.
Well, yeah, an admiral's a flag officer.
Wait, what's the president doing this whole time?
He's bringing people together. He's talking to Janice. What more do you want him to do? He's got to play. He's...
I don't know. Maybe prevent the end of civilization. That seems like a pretty obviously presidential responsibility here.
It's going to be a great color. It's going to be huge.
Okay. Penalty to you, sir.
We're going
to
get the best colors. Or colors, sorry.
So what has NASA determined?
NASA has determined that there is a cloud of dust spreading between the Earth and the Sun.
Okay.
Its origins are unknown, but its placement seems to be deliberate. Could there be an extraterrestrial race plotting to invade the Earth via dust?
Could be.
Only time will tell. In this novel, a mysterious dust cloud in space obscures the sun. Yeah, I'm just repeating that.
You just said that.
This is the TLDR.
Can't even finish the dust jacket blurb without screwing up.
I'm sorry, Jack A. Hancock.
Yeah?
Tell me about yourself.
Yes. About me. So, hi, my name is Jack A. Hancock. I was born in 1921.
Holy shit.
I'm a veteran of World War II and the Korean War. I worked as a chemical engineer for E.I. DuPont for 32 years. I then began writing upon retirement, and I published one other novel, The Fried Chicken Affair.
Get me that book.
Ah, I will, here it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it actually is on iUniverse. Does anybody want to read about The Fried Chicken Affair?
God, yes.
I will.
Scandal, the other white meat.
Do you want it, Amelia, or will I do it?
Can I do it, please?
Please, go ahead.
Actually, no, I think Jack A. Hancock should read it.
I think this is fair.
He was just reading his other book.
I wish I knew what kind of story The Fried Chicken Affair was. The Cloud is helpfully titled as an unusual story, but,
Alright, so, let me tell you, my actual magnum opus is The Fried Chicken Affair.
Did this woman know her picture was being taken?
It looks like the picture was snapped right after she hit in the face with a ball.
The fuck is this story?
It's a wonderful story. Thank you for asking. So, in my book, The Fried Chicken Affair, lest you forgot.
No, you keep missing the full title of your own book. That's just... What's wrong with you?
Oh, yeah. What's the full title?
It's The Fried Chicken Affair, subtitle, The Sex Trap. Which is
The Sex Trap.
The Sex Trap.
Thought for sure I misheard.
Okay, Ashton, you gotta start... Okay, start over and read this in old man voice.
Oh, well. Alright, so, in my book, The Fried Chicken Affair, subtitled The Sex Trap, Jasmine is a beautiful young woman. To impress her husband, plans to prepare a chicken dinner from chicken.
I made you a chicken dinner out of chicken.
On the hoof, receives instructions
from
Jack.
On the hoof? Chicken on the hoof?
Science has gone too far.
I really like that your old man voice is just an Acio Collado voice.
She loses her courage for the chicken, but becomes interested in Jack. Jack struggles to be faithful to his sick wife.
Did John Edwards write this?
Nope, me, Jack Hancock.
Yeah, you wrote all 54 pages of this.
All 54, 5x8 pages.
So is this like a Kindle porn?
No, it's just a marital episode. It's like an O. Henry story without the twist.
The twist is they both fuck the chicken.
Oh, okay.
The twist is that the chicken has a hoof and they fuck the chicken.
So, if I could just point out one thing, on my last bio it said that I currently live in Brentwood, Tennessee. Oh, wait, no, never mind, that makes sense, he moved. Because in this bio, he just wants to point out that I'm an engineer, and I live in Nashville. My sister and wife say I'm a good storyteller and encourage me to write down my stories.
Stop encouraging him, please.
It's like the people on American Idol who are like, all my friends say I'm great.
Sherman. Read Confederate Nation.
Oh, all right. I think I can read Confederate Nation.
Oh, wait, no. I'll tell you the full title. Confederate Nation, Special Appearance by Elvis Presley.
Oh, you mean by Michael Gray?
Yeah, and this is literary fiction. We're, like, let's get past that genre stuff. This is high literature on iUniverse.
This is historical.
Okay.
Historical fiction.
Well, let's see. This is Confederate Nation, Special Appearance by Elvis Presley by Michael Gray. Buy this book. What, you expected sterling praise from famous writers? Sorry, I can't provide that because I am forced to publish Confederate Nation myself.
I wonder why.
Damn Yankee traitors!
Besides, I suspect many of those testimonials are just favors from friends who may not have even read the book. And you never see a bad one, right? Let's face it, the so-called mainstream publishing industry has become constipated and reluctant to do more than recycle the gorp of mediocre but established writers. So apparently they have good old raisins and peanuts.
Does he know what gorp is?
I like this person's idea of criticism from other authors. Like, even if they say something bad, you have to put it on your book. It's true.
Well, how else are you going to publish a book if you don't have somebody saying it's a piece of crap?
Actually, there are a lot of blurbs on iUniverse where it's like they'll sarcastically make up quotes about how the book is terrible, but those quotes are supposed to validate it because they're from disreputable sources.
Mm.
Like that is a practice I ran into many times.
I see Hitler in the sidebar.
Well, I think that's the Glenn Beck method.
Yeah, that is the Glenn Beck. You're right. That is exactly the Glenn Beck method.
Anyway, it is most unwilling to take a chance and discover new and exciting writers, so I am taking matters into my own hands again. Confederate Nation.
Okay, what the fuck is your book
life
about?
Life is too short to wait for a break. I'm going to try and make it happen now. Is this a great book?
Okay.
Is this a great book? Probably not. There are very few great books published anymore.
You're a great job on selling it, asshole.
But is it entertaining?
Just being modest.
But is it entertaining? Yes. Does it tell a lot of story? Certainly. And I've always thought it should be a movie, too. With proper padding. With proper padding and makeup, Kurt Russell could again be Elvis.
Wait.
Again?
A man is ultimately his own father because he keeps
wasn't
growing.
Wasn't that like a weird Heinlein
lucky,
story?
Probably. And as he grows, he's the only person there every damn day to help get past the rough spots. We become our own fathers, and we should, and we must raise ourselves, even when a biological father has been there, but even more so when one is not. In the end, we are solitary creatures.
Come give me a hug, Daddy!
I like that you're keeping your personal issues very separated from your writing.
I imagine he sidles up to women in bars and goes, "Hey, you want to fuck my dad?" Spoiler, it's me.
We're alone. The smart ones will make alliances and coalitions with others to make the trip sweeter and kinder, but it's a long and solitary trip, and in the end, the partners we can't get us across the last barrier. That we have to do for ourselves. Hyphen Michael Lloyd 1L Gray.
Oh, he quotes himself. That's beautiful.
What is the book about?
Well, let's see.
It's about being your own dad.
Well, I'll tell you what the book about. It's buy this book. What you expected sterling praise from famous writers. Sorry, I can't provide that because I am forced to publish Confederate Nation myself. Besides, like, it's crystal clear.
Well, let me tell you a bit about myself.
Yeah. Harold Lloyd Gray, tell me about yourself.
Well, Michael Lloyd 1L Gray is the winner of the 2005 Alligator Juniper Fiction Prize and is the winner of the 2005 The Writers No Apostrophe Place Fiction Award. His work has appeared in Arkansas Review, Potomac Review, Flash! Exclamation mark point, Vietnam Generation, 1812, and Black River Syllabary.
A syllabary is a kind of writing system.
He earned an MFA in English from Western Michigan University and a Bachelor ? From the University University of Illinois. He is an English professor at Illinois Central College.
Oh, God, he teaches others. No.
Now, some of those accolades may sound made up, but you gotta remember that a book is ultimately its own reward ceremony.
Would you like to hear a free preview?
Yay!
Go ahead, please.
No.
Preview coming soon.
Yay! What's a good one for Vinny here?
Oh, let me see.
I would recommend either Elevator Shoes or Right Back Where We Started.
Isn't that that was a Kurt Russell movie, Elevator Shoes?
Yeah, the computer wore elevator shoes.
That's the second computer wore tennis shoes reference on this podcast.
And it won't be the last.
I gotta know what the fuck Elevator Shoes is.
Okay, here we go. All right.
That is a cover.
So, are we still in the high literature section?
Oh, I get it, because it's wearing elevator shoes. It's tall literature rather than high literature.
Yes.
Get out. Bye.
Alrighty. So, Elevator Shoes by Stephen Gibbs.
The lesser-known Gibb brother.
Along with a nomadic set of handicapped adults and a lemon-scented train engineer, Daniel Ferdman and Barb McCoff have established a traveling lecture series where plasma donation is encouraged and Thomas Jefferson is divine. The couple pushes forward a simple approach to living, recommending the seven precepts as a healthy alternative to the modern world. With the addition of a locomotive engine, a kidnapping scheme, and a used Honda, Elevator Shoes is a suggestive blend of sarcasm and narrative discourse. In service to one, in service to all. Motherfucker.
I don't think that would explain much.
There's a lemon-scented train engineer. There's the capitalized seven precepts.
This is the 40-year-old's version of monkey banana random.
Stephen Gibbs, why don't you tell us? Tell me about yourself, Stephen Gibbs.
Well, born in the blue-collar backwoods of Pennsylvania, Stephen Gibbs was raised on Lake Perch and labor unions. Raised on labor unions? Currently a resident of the Atlantic coast, the author spends his spare time collecting hubcaps and growing fruit trees.
See, what he's saying is that labor unions carried him throughout life, just hoisting him.
That's a damning condemnation of organized labor, I have to say.
No, he's a cannibal.
Oh.
He ate the labor unions.
High cholesterol diet there.
He ate the working class instead of the rich, the fucking bastard.
So much for the tolerant left. He began his writing career as a poet and a journalist, preparing himself for the illustrious life of a non-genre fiction author.
Which literary adventure is this of yours?
Elevator Shoes is Mr. Gibbs? Question mark. Second literary adventure, following a short story collection titled Lazarus Milkshake.
I drink your Lazarus Milkshake!
He lives and works in North Carolina with his daughter and a small dog. He continues to write in monotone English.
Unfortunately.
Well, you read that all wrong, then. You need a much flatter effect.
Lazarus Milkshake, that's a milkshake that melted, but then it got refrozen.
This guy's the equivalent of, like, the LOL random teenagers from, like, 2004. But just as, like, a 40-year-old man.
Wait, when was this published?
2004, holy fuck.
Oh, on my birthday, perfect.
He hit while the iron was hot. Shut up on Tamia Reed.
Oh shit.
Tamia Reed,
I think.
Tamia Reed.
That's her about the author section. Shut up on Tamia Reed.
Shut up on Tamia Reed. And I'm going to tell you about my book, www.me. This was published on December 14th, 2000. Yay!
And if you'd like a site that has a web URL, go to balp.it.
Or anywhere else.
I like my book cover. Do you? It just says my first name. I'm like, Sting.
I like the sort of baffled woman looking at the computer from 1987.
Yeah, that's me. www.mate is about the state of dating in the computer age.
Damn millennials.
It is a fictional account of a young woman named Janet. It's a fiction book. What about, that's a fictional account.
I think it clarifies that so Tamia doesn't get sued by Janet Jackson.
Named Janet, who is encouraged by a coworker to stop working her life away and try an electronic dating site.
You know when you sign up for, like, OkCupid, you have to quit your job.
Yes. Although apprehensive, Janet gives in. Her first responses are not promising at all. Janet shouldn't have gone to OkCupid. In fact, they make her want to forget the whole idea until she... This is all one sentence. Until she finds three men who pique her interest.
Larry, Moe, and Curly.
Our other names are so much better than this.
After some more hesitation, she agrees to meet each of her new email potentials. They are Vernon, Abel, and... Coolassex. COOLASSEX. Coolisex.
I think it's a new antidepressant.
Coolisex.
Coolisexamon.
Coolexlax.
The Coolisex of Rhodes. Two of the men are distinguished from their choices for different reasons.
Diminished.
Their diminished form her choices.
Two of the men are diminished form her choices for different reason. But one has her flying high.
I really hope it's Cool SX.
Until they both learn they entered into the date totally by accident. Janet begins to persistently pursue her connection. But there is another woman involved.
She tried unplugging it and plugging it back in again?
Well, get her name. The challenge presented by her internet dating explosion.
Exploration.
Seven people died in that internet dating explosion.
Exploration.
Exploration. Oh, fuck.
Sadly.
Reading is hard.
Yours is better, though.
How drunk are you?
I don't drink. The challenge presented by her internet dating exploration leaves Janet perplexed. Janet, her life, which was once a cocoon protecting her from dating woes, is suddenly faced with a challenge.
What a metaphor.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Her life was like the movie Cocoon.
Oh, boy, this next sentence is good.
She turns to her only source, her gay best friend.
Hello.
Only source? Source of what?
Everything.
Of sass.
I hope it's a gay lady. To relieve her sorrows and to feel that for once in her life is not being rejected. Is it a gay lady?
It could be, but...
No, the stock character is talking about as a gay man.
Oh. That last...
Well, it might be, but what are you about, author Tamaya Reed?
I'll tell you about me. Author bio coming soon.
Hello, humans. I am Chris Collins.
Hi.
Perhaps you're familiar with my book, Pathetic Planet. But you may not be as familiar with me, Chris Collins, who lives in the horrible Northeast. I have a fiancé and two hermit crabs, Cake and Prince, though it's been some time, so I'm sure one of them is now the hermit crab formerly known as Prince. I enjoy mountain biking, Ishin Ryu Karate, Bruce Lee movies, and pizza.
Chris Collins, are you a Ninja Turtle?
My goal is to be perfect, and to one day live in a cave.
Bucket list, be Buddha.
You're wondering, what is the book I've written? How is it best described?
Yeah, what is the text for book description?
Yeah, text for book description. This book is unique, witty, perceptive, humorous, philosophic, analytical, critical, realistic, cold, rebellious, observative, genius, informative, common sense, it is common sense, hostile, daring, shocking, moody, open-minded, frustrating, honest, abusive, and instructive.
And Rococo.
This is the only way to describe it.
I think Pitchfork should stick to making reviews, not books.
Chris Collins, I like how you decided to make your book cover in Windows 98 Microsoft Paint.
Isn't it beautiful? I'm going to go masturbate onto a thesaurus now.
You mean into, right?
Into.
Hey, I have a book. I have a book. Guys, I have a book. It's a very funny book. My name is Jason Beckert. My book's called Ficus Fortunus. Brian Kaltbeer, a perfectly ordinary man in every way, has been making a lot of friends lately. All seemed interested in his well-being. Will he choose to side with those who favor his continued well-being, or will he embrace those who would like to see him ground up into a fine paste and exported as a lubricant for farm machinery? Huh?
What?
That's a seemingly simple choice. But how many of us have considered the importance of third world agriculture and the lubrication thereof?
One person.
Me. Jason Becker. Author of Ficus Fortunus. This book has nothing to do with third world agriculture, and only makes fleeting references to lubrication. It is simply a comedic tale of one man's unexpected and grossly unprepared for thrust into a life that most people only read about in books. 70% comedy, 15% action, 10% sci-fi, 3% romance, 2% additives and fillers. These numbers may not be entirely accurate because, courtesy of the author, the literary statistician who audited the book was boozed up on tequila at the time. In fact,
this book is not FDA approved.
In fact, the author is standing over my shoulder as I type this now. A very funny book. Read it. Read it. Read it.
For the love of God, please.
Can I go to the bathroom now?
Nope.
Can I go to the bathroom now?
No.
The author doesn't want you to.
I really have to piss! Can I go to the bathroom now?
No, you having to pee is turning me on.
Not until the author comes.
The woman is dead!
Oh, fuck.
What?
Poor the woman.
The woman is dead! By Colin McFadden Roan. Our first chapter awakens, trapped in an empty warehouse and suffering from amnesia. Oh, our first character, sorry. Luckily, there's entertainment. Colin, the contents of several file cabinets.
Thrilling.
I hope there's a fucking Game Boy in there. But the people in the files aren't much better off. One is a missing exotic dancer. Another thinks the government controls his brain with sonic waves. Controls his brain with sonic free riders. A third kidnaps the sonic wave guy.
What?
Why would you kidnap him?
Because he wants to get his hands on Sonic the Hedgehog.
You can't even get through your synopsis without referring to a character as the Sonic Wave guy.
Or was the that gets kidnapped by? I don't know what. Okay.
Just reread it.
What tense is this?
All
of them.
We don't need tense where we're going.
A third kidnaps the Sonic Wave guy. Or was that gets kidnapped by?
I think he's getting meant to... anyways.
It's making me presently tense.
Read this book before they start assigning it in English class.
I don't think that's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, read this book ever.
Oh god, what a... Oh no, this is a horrible Betsy DeVos future. author Colin McFadden Roan has created a story that is at once festively adventuresome and darkly introspective, Colin. An intensive, tightly crafted work with uncannily true dialogue that alternates between hilariously inane and wickedly pithy.
You can't be inane and pithy at the same time. That
Well, it's not. It's alternating.
Oh, alternating between idiocy and whatever.
I think some characters are idiots and some characters are the smart ones that the audience identifies with.
Yes. You guys know, has there ever been anything that's introspective that's not dark?
Like Coke, the words line up.
What?
You heard me.
Well, we know what the author was doing when he wrote this.
He arranges them into outrageously unbelievable observations, but you don't care.
Correct.
All right, I don't.
Am I being negged?
So long as you'll hit the... He'll hit you, baby, one more time.
What the fuck?
Did I tell you that this was published in 2000?
Oh my god, leave my child alone. Step up in the crib.
Your world slowly asphyxiated.
Stop choking my child!
You read on, until after two breathless hours. Not because you couldn't breathe, but because you didn't need to.
I didn't want to.
You emerge, born again!
You hear that? If the cops ask, you didn't need to breathe.
Yeah, I was being born again. What?
You emerge born again, like some psycho-religious zealot, only saner.
Holy shit, I love cocaine!
Yep. With multiple narrators, well, great, multiple storylines,
and multiple lines of coke,
and an engaging pace of action. The woman is dead! Is sure to challenge even the most thoughtful reader to think. Just reminder, even lies in part truth.
They're called alternative facts, thank you.
I think this episode is going to be as dated as this book.
Colin McFadden, Ron, can you tell me about yourself?
Late autumn, 1996. I guess this is a dateline. Arthur Colin McFadden Roan had enough, period. But instead of being trendy and going postal, well, that's the trend now.
Well, it actually was the trend in the 90s, to be fair.
I guess that's true. He made, like, Iggy Pop hopping a Greyhound and becoming the passenger.
Worst superhero ever.
So becoming emaciated and shirtless was his plan?
He did a far less trendy thing, took a bunch of cocaine and wrote a shitty book about it.
Why is the passenger in quotes? What the fuck is that?
He became like a superhero.
The superhero who rides buses.
I take a seat on the bus. I'm the passenger. It's a worse superhero than Arm Fall Off Boy or whatever his name was.
Matter Eater Lad. 10 days, he meandered from Carolina to California and back.
He's a fast walker.
Why the fuck would you go back? During that time, he formulated the characters that became this book!
Well,
so he created the Latin alphabet?
Yes.
He stitched in together from the other people on the bus.
I mean, I guess, to this guy's benefit, I mean, I don't want to praise this guy, but at least he didn't shoot up any place.
No, he just shot up.
He shot up a lot.
Okay, so this podcast really likes terrible accents, right?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
I got a kick-ass Italian-American accent that I think is apropos for this book. This is Car Salesman: A Legacy by Lewis Newcomb.
Are you sure you're not the Boston pitch man?
Yeah, I'm gonna make you a fucking pitch you can't refuse. Okay, baby, let me show you how the fucking mafia works, sales manager snarled. Because if you're so much as a day late on any one of the 3 pickup payments, I'm going to blow your goddamn fucking brains out all over the showroom floor. Bro.
At that point, they just get up and don't sign the papers.
Well, that's all I needed to know about your book.
Well, but you didn't know about me.
It's true.
Lewis Newcomb spent nearly 40 years in sales and management, hawking cars for more than 50 dealerships nationwide, and involved in every conceivable method of selling. Like, those used by the fucking mafia. Lewis routinely outsold his peers, and implemented new ideas until finally he felt compelled to share a vocation still considered an enigma. I refer, of course, to selling cars with the fucking mafia.
He sounds beloved by his peers.
You are the worst car salesman ever.
Why is a car salesman like coming with that gun pointing to his head? He's like, that's his O face, I think.
No, okay, this guy is the worst car salesman. Can you believe like someone being so full of themselves? Like, oh, not only am I going to sell all these cars and make my quota, I'm going to write a book about it.
I'm going to do it by midnight.
This guy needs to watch that MST3K short Hired.
Holy shit, can I read The Real Prophet of Doom?
Oh, that's for the end.
Oh.
The McGick section is like the climax of the document.
Okay, we can wait. I just claim this one.
Coming in here, tell me when to climax.
I'm sorry.
We can wait. I just claim The Real Prophet of Doom.
Oh, you can have it. But that is, like, that specific reading is the one that I wanted to end the episode on, because it is my favorite thing in the whole thing.
Okay, I can wait.
Ashton, do you want to read The Tree That Knew Too Much?
The Tree That Knew Too Much?
The what?
The true story of the giving tree and why it was put to death.
Alright, so...
What?
From famed literary author Vern Westfall comes the beautiful story of The Tree That Knew Too Much.
Hey, Vern, how's your book going?
Hey, wait a minute. Before we jump into this, Vern, how much would it cost to buy your book as an ebook?
Just $3.99.
Okay, well, what if I wanted to go a little more classic then? Because that seems like a reasonable price, so maybe I'd shell out for a soft cover.
The book is $20.99, which is a steal.
Just nice. Only over 500% markup from the ebook.
But yeah. So, don't ask where the paper for the tree came from. That's all I ask.
Okay. It costs a lot to make a book cover, okay? Especially one as intricate as this one, which is like...
It costs a lot to put, like, a plain font over, I guess, a Getty Images stock photo of either a bench or a tree.
Just some wood, yeah.
some weathered wood. I think it's this distressed furniture they always talk about.
So, Vern, why don't you give us your overview? Also, this is in quotations for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to say it sarcastically, like, the whole time.
Well, Vern Westfall is saying all this out loud to you.
So, open quotations. Dr. Bryce and the geneticist had expected the governor to react to the news of an important scientific find with at least some interest.
Well, then you shouldn't have lived in a Republican state.
Instead, he instantly...
The smoke alarm liked that one.
Instead, he instantly threw up a barrier to keep out any new ideas. Oh crap, this is topical. Shit. Alright. instead, he threw up a barrier to keep out any new ideas and expressed no curiosity at all. Double quotation marks. You scientists get real excited when you find something you can't figure out and make a big deal of it.
That is what science is, yes.
I've been following the news, and you have yourselves panting like dogs running around a tree that isn't going anywhere.
Does any tree go somewhere?
Well, into a wood chipper, yeah.
Oh.
Well, this particular state is known for having ints.
Oh, okay.
A couple of tragic accidents happened in that farm, and the press and the police jumped on them. Now you're making things worse by trying to turn the tree into a science project.
Because that's never happened before.
You're supposed to turn it into a chair, goddammit. That's what trees are for.
Single quote, and then double quotes.
It has a single quote, and then it starts a double quote, and then there's another single quote.
For God's sake!
There are four little, quote marks just in a line.
For God's sake, single quote, the governor continued. Open quote, the tree just stood there and got run into.
What? Stupid fucking tree.
So, wait,
why don't you move, you tree, goddammit? I'm trying to drive here.
Why is the governor continued the only thing that's not in quotations?
I don't know. Is it or is it not?
It technically is in quotations because this whole thing opened with quotations.
I don't know.
But the quotation, those first quotations ended with, for God's sake, I think.
No, they ended with no curiosity at all, but there was a space, so it threw everything off. There's actually a single quote that opens, you scientists get real excited.
I want to post this.
Wait, what do you think the text in the book is like?
Probably this.
You know what I want to do? I want to copy this text, paste it into a Wikipedia article box, and see how it can see how the formatting comes out.
It's just all bold and italic, the whole thing.
It just keeps getting more bold and more italic until Wikipedia crashes.
It turns Wikipedia into John Kitchen.
It italicizes it until you have to look at it from the edge of the paper, like those magic eye puzzles.
The paper that you're reading Wikipedia on.
Yeah, your monitor, I'm sorry. Forgot we don't all have magic paper.
Yeah.
What?
I'm fucking Doctor Who up in here, motherfuckers. So that was psychic paper.
Give me that psychic paper.
Oh god, shut up. I'm sorry, need your reaction. The tree just stood there and got run into, and the grieving son went a little berserk. I don't care how old it is, it's still just a tree. The kind of press you are stirring up makes Ohio look bad.
Oh, of course!
This has been Kasich the whole time!
That's what makes Ohio look bad.
One newspaper even said the tree drank blood like a vampire.
Okay, I gotta read that book now.
Single quote, double quote, single quote. I'm directing the Ohio CDC.
Ohio has its own CDC?
And is apparently in charge of vampire trees. Okay, I gotta read this book now.
Well, you could buy it. You could buy it as an ebook for $3.99, or you could buy it for $20.99 as a soft cover.
Oh, but it's a perfect bound soft cover, Amelia. That makes all the difference.
I'm directing the Ohio CDC to remove the cover, and I would appreciate it if you and the other science guys would climb up and go home. Single quote, double quote.
So far, this is the only book I want to read.
I know.
Ever. Wait. This is the only book I want to read ever.
Yeah.
So, hey, Vern Westfall, what do you like? Tell us about yourself, Vern. I'm tired of me being the one that says all the stuff in this thing now. Tell us about yourself, Vern.
I will, but I don't know if what I'm about to say is actually still part of the overview or part of the governor's dialogue.
No, this is about the author part, Vern. Come on.
All I know is I'm deliberately ignoring this Ernest bit.
Yeah, so am I. Sure, when you're too old for this.
No, I'm exactly old enough for the Ernest stuff. You're just too young for it.
No, I just don't care.
That works too.
Hey, I've seen Ernest Scared Stupid.
The only other person I knew that made Ernest jokes was 80.
You're kind of both right in your own ways.
Fern Westphal is an adventurer, an explorer, a philosopher, a pilot, a teacher, a designer of fine homes, and an author, last. He has done push-ups in moon gravity.
That's not that impressive.
So he booked a ride in the Vomit Comet. Big deal.
No, he did push-ups underwater.
No, I think moon gravity is what he calls his basement.
I think it's what he calls his medicinal herb.
He spent time in the Arctic and flown at the upper edges of the atmosphere faster than a rifle bullet.
Dude, if you took an Alaskan cruise, that's not spending time in the Arctic.
And if you fly in a passenger jet, that's not flying in the upper edges of the atmosphere going faster than a rifle bullet. Okay, well, technically it is, but so I've done that, like, a lot.
Well, have you also communed with Buddhist monks on mountaintops in Taiwan, survived in the jungles of the Philippines, lived in Thailand, married a Korean woman, and raised a daughter as a single parent?
What happened to the Korean woman?
I really like the story that those last two sentences tell.
She knew too much. I mean, the tree knew too much.
I was gonna... When he started, he was gonna say communed with Buddhist monks on mountaintops. I was gonna make a joke about, yeah, I've played Overwatch, so, you know.
Wait, why is married a Korean woman... Like, added to, like, one of his many feats. Did he do it on a dare?
My most daring accolade yet, marrying a Korean woman.
They have very high standards.
Have you ever married a Korean woman? I didn't think so.
He had to do something to top living in Thailand.
Okay. So, Siam Bam Bam, and you wanted to tell us about Postmodern McGick?
Yes, I did want to tell you about my book, Postmodern McGick.
Oh, I'm sorry, Seth.
Yes, my name is Seth, not whatever you just said. I don't know
hey,
that
Seth,
name.
Seth, how's it been since high school? What you been up to?
Well, I wrote a book today, May 19th, 2004.
Oh, before you start, could you tell us what the other books that they're recommending are?
You might like my book if you liked Bewitched in Salem, Witch City or City of Peace by Russ Ely. or maybe Dear Beelzebub. That is really hard to read because of the JPEG artifact. Discussions.
That's Beelzebub.
Yeah, Dear Beelzebub. Dear Beelzebub. Discussions with the Devil by an author whose name is too small on the cover to be readable of that size. Or Blood McGick, my other book.
Oh, you mean Blood McGick is a synthesis of ancient tradition and contemporary innovation designed for both the discerning adept seeking to...
To incorporate blood into existing disciplines and beginning practitioners taking their first steps into the occult world? Yes. Duh. I published that one last year.
I was recommended Postmodern McGick again.
Yeah, so it's a really...
Yeah, I was too.
It's a nice little circuit I have going here.
A book's so nice, you gotta read it twice.
The sad thing is, I know exactly why he named himself Seth.
I do too, I just realized it, and I want to hit something.
Like a Satanist, but he's too much of a hipster to be a normal, like...
Yeah, no, I have a real strong connection to the ancient world through my mythical blood. But we're going to move from the past into the realm of postmodernism with Postmodern McGick, my magnum opus.
And I like that he named himself after the Egyptian jackal god...
No,
Anubis. I'm Seth.
He named himself after the anteater, after the evil anteater god.
All right, shut.
Yeah.
Shut. Let's hear from Seth.
Oh, the guy from Pyramids of Mars, yeah.
Shh. Yes.
I'm the guy from Postmodern McGick, I think.
No, you're Seth Green. Let's kick off.
I'm Seth Green, Seth Rogen, and Seth MacFarlane.
The unholy trinity.
So this is my book, Postmodern McGick.
Sorry, Seth Green.
This book is the beginning of a long road.
I'm not.
It exists within a paradox of detailed research and the fierce resistance of dogma.
Sentence is meaningless.
No, it's not. My research is impeccable, and my dogma is fiercely resisted.
But was it run over by karma?
God damn it, Sherman!
This book is for the iconoclast. The magus who rejects blind adherence and who struggles against the invisible prison of tradition. Farouche scholars, artists, hackers, goths.
For all you cosmetic students.
By the way, goths is capitalized, so it's the ancient Germanic tribe.
Yes.
Yay, they're cool.
It's the Visigoths.
Or any other magus on the underground path of evolution. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole
of the London Underground path of it.
Oh, I just heard Lemon committing suicide after hearing you read that.
Hold on, guys. I have a book to describe here, and you're making it very difficult.
Oh, okay. Sure. Sorry.
Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, with attitude.
Oh, God, I want to kill you now.
Who's making this difficult?
Get me five teens with attitude, and Satan.
No, Sutek.
I've been talking about postmodern begic, but I haven't defined it yet, so let me explain my terms here.
Oh yeah, I don't have access to dictionary.org.
Postmodern, a school of thought primarily concerned with the deconstruction of meta-narratives. In this text, it is the rejection of the idea that there is only one way of begic. Begic. The use of will to elicit change in reality. Now, both of those words are capitalized, but I didn't define them either, so
You're grabbing Will Wheaton.
Yeah, so Will, like, so this is a Lenny Riefenstahl film, I see, yes.
No, it's Will from Will and Grace.
Oh, God, you're getting more punchful by the second.
And reality, the David Bowie album.
I just wanted to point out that the use of will to elicit change in reality could be used to describe, like, moving a fucking rock with your hands, for instance.
Oh, you do magic too? Sorry, magic?
I am currently lifting a bottle of Bombay Sapphire to my lips.
Yeah, that's magic.
No, because in those cases, you're not using will, you're using your hands. This is the direct application of will.
Oh, okay.
Will in its pure form, unmediated by the physical body.
I have a friend named Will. If I make him go give me ice cream, is that magic?
Yes.
Anyway, what's postmodern magic?
So, are you basically saying this is going to be the triumph of the will?
No.
Shut
it's going to
up,
be
Sherman, goddamn.
Triumph of postmodern magic. I'm going to teach you postmodern magic. Postmodern magic is self-initiation and exploration based on personal relevance and free-form magic. These passages contain not only a manuscript on postmodern magic in theory and practice, but also new postmodern grimoires such as Reality Hacker, all in print for the first time, alongside more traditional text.
Reality hack the planet.
Why are you using traditional text? I thought we were breaking out of the invisible prison of tradition.
No, that's why I said it with such disdain. But sometimes you just, you know, not all the wheels have been reinvented. You gotta be pragmatic about this stuff.
Well, really, what could be more traditional than Reality Hacker?
Yes, it is a founding text of our movement. But I have an admission to make. Seth, naturally, is a pseudonym. My actual name is Chris Robinson.
God damn it, Chris Robinson! I thought I'd escaped your grasp.
The author is an occultist of many years and proud of his achievements. Though from study and experience, understands the necessity for both discretion and distance. By disassociating himself with the work, he hopes to allow it to succeed for fail by its own merit.
Succeed for fail? I think that's an insurance scam.
Succeed for fail is going to be my next ska album.
You use will to affect reality to the end of failure. See, that's why it's not a triumph of the will. It's a failure of the will.
I think our last book here is going to be read by Vinny here, and it's The Real Prophet of Doom. Why don't you tell me what the name of your
All right.
book is?
The Real Prophet of Doom, Kismet, Introduction, Pendulum Flow, by Dwayne W. Anderson.
Wow, that's actually kind of a not ugly cover.
You kind of dropped out there. Can you read the title of your book again, Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson.
The Real Prophet of Doom. Kismet. Introduction. Pendulum Flow.
Well, now you just clipped it all to death. I couldn't. I heard you, but at the same time, I couldn't make
this
it out.
This author speaks in clipping.
Fair enough.
Yes, it's true.
The Real Prophet of Doom. Kismet. Introduction. Pendulum Flow.
Dwayne W. Anderson, tell me how much your book costs.
My book?
Holy oh my shit. God!
My book costs, the ebook is $14.99. The perfect bound softcover, so perfectly bound, is $29.95. And the case bound hardcover is $39.95, and it is worth it!
Oh, God, that's some really expensive, like, e-paper you're printing on.
Wait, 6x9, what's the average?
The size of 6x9!
Okay. Oh, what the fuck is this formatting?
I'm telling you, this is the guy who wrote Time Cube.
If the cosmos could be divided into quadrants of constellations, look for life on other planets in quadrants! Minus 23, minus 32, and minus 13!
I'm sorry, do you mind reading that 13 the way it's written, please?
And minus 13!
Thank you!
A new kind of numerology called pendulum flow. It's God's inner and outer workings with and from his divine Holy Spirit. Pendulum level.
Holy parentheses hyphen.
Holy parentheses hyphen spirit. It's a vagina, okay? Everybody's a vagina.
Oh my God. Oh my God, go to jail.
Pendulum level equals change equals chance equals pendulum flow. Pendulum flow equals clockwork of the universal gods. That's possessive, holy, vagina, spirit, and a new kind of numerology that is not of the occult, as is no longer concealed, but is revealed by God and his divine, holy, vagina, spirit, and is, of course, of a righteous and divine intervention of God's hand. It is the glory of God to conceal matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. Proverbs 25:2 equals reciprocal sequence.
That?
Bracket, parentheses, 252, parentheses, bracket, minus, parentheses. Who wants to be sitting at the right hand of God upon his resurrection? Jesus Christ. And whom was everything
created?
Wait,
you missed something. You missed something. What's a parentheses equals sign parentheses?
Double vagina. Jesus Christ. And whom was everything created? Minus with and minus through double vagina. The universal father. God's son. Double vagina. Jesus Christ. Minus a pendulum flow. There's the theory of evolution. There's also the theory and or law of cardinal numbers. These numbers all prove that there is a universal negative God. That negative exists. The theory and or law of cardinal numbers. It beats my negative beats. Negative evolution. God's holy vagina spirit, double vagina, negative A, the 360 inverse spherical spiritual law of force, sideways vagina, the reverse spherical, 360 inverse spherical spiritual law of rhythmic reciprocity.
You are educated, stupid!
Mathematical pendulum flow equation. If, it's parentheses, brackets, if A and or B equals 0, 2, 9, and if A does not equal B, and or if B does not equal A, then bracket, parentheses, AB, parentheses, equals reciprocal, equals BA, parentheses, bracket. Double vagina, negative God's active spirit force, double vagina, God's law of reciprocity, bracket, exclamation, the pure language, negative numerology, double vagina, the equations of pendulum flow.
Okay, I will say.
That was Vinnie Possum's audition for Kumquat Zap.
Don't you want to hear about me?
Can I just say, this guy, of all the books we've read so far, this guy's overview matches his text exactly. Look at the free preview. Look at the free preview.
Oh yeah, the free preview. Oh,
yes. Fuck.
I had not
Tom, Dwayne
that.
Anderson's The Prophet Chino.
Oh my God,
Abraham Lincoln at 6'4 on your show today. Abraham Lincoln and Lyndon B. Johnson are both 6'4 in height. Did you notice what years these two U.S. presidents are both born? Lyndon B. Johnson
why,
was born
why does the preview text
in 1908. Civil
like
Rights Act of 1964.
This is page 333.
Vinny, stop,
wait,
stop,
wait.
Please, God.
Wait, what?
Just read about the author, please.
Wait, one more.
Abraham Lincoln was born in 1809, abolished slavery in 1865, negative 1964, 1 plus 1 minus. They were born 196 days apart! One parentheses 96, one times 96. 96 equals reciprocal 69 yin yang!
Destroy Harvard robot minions!
Vinny, read.
Do you want to hear about me?
Anderson's about the author, please.
Oh my god.
Dwayne W. Anderson.
Who is this visionary?
Dwayne W. Anderson, a retired site infrastructure senior engineer, former California insurance life, health, and disability insurance agent, a retired foreman in construction, certified in meditation arbitration from the University of Berkeley in California, singer, songwriter, musician, and author.
Is it sitting sit now?
The University of Berkeley. That's I think that's a homeless guy's tent. It's not it's not UC Berkeley. It's the University of Berkeley, California. That's a homeless guy's tent.
Yeah, it's Berkeley's university.
The University of Berkeley in California. Why don't you believe me?
What did we learn?
I learned that you, Queen Latifah, are just minus 2 days older than Mr. Pendulum.
God is talking to me through my Chex Mix.
I learned that it's incredibly valuable to have an editor. Otherwise, a Markov bot can probably write a more, like, legible synopsis than about half the people on this site.
I learned that,
how many species of fish are there in the world today? The answer is over 32,000 species, with scientists finding new ones all the time. Born to explore the universe, negative 23, reciprocal 32!
Stop learning.
So, George.
Okay.
I learned that, Mohan, Velayudhan's Naked in the Sandstorm has a pretty psychedelic cover.
Yeah.
I learned that being a shitty author doesn't mean you can't also be a shitty cover artist.
I learned that, like, obviously there's going to be, you know, a respective upper bound of quality on these self-publishing sites compared to the lower bound of quality on an actual publisher. But I wasn't expecting when I went into this that they would have such different characters. And what I mean by that is that when I was doing the America Star document, like, there were things that kept popping up, like, for example, poetry books with poetry as the blurb, or, you know, romance novels written by Jelk Jones or whatever. But here, there were different tropes, and so there was one trope that I kept seeing over and over and over again, which was a super, super long blurb that lays out the entire plot of the book, basically. And it'll even, like, give away the twist ending. And then I can buy it for $12.95. I'm like, why would I read your book? You just spoiled your whole book. Or there would be just, you know, then I actually looked for the poetry because I thought, oh, that was such a reliable, you know, font the last time. And I couldn't find any. Post-recording note. This is incorrect. The way to find terrible poetry on iUniverse is to order the book's oldest first instead of newest first, which I was in too much of a hurry to realize at the time. Stay tuned for the iUniverse poetry episode. It was interesting that these sites are targeting the same people, and they're targeting them the same way, but they get different sections of that demographic of the frustrated, unpublishable writer who is still a writer and wants to be published. And I wonder if that says anything about how these names get out or how these sites work. But I think it would be, you know, I think somebody could write a graduate thesis on that. I don't know.
Likely.
I think it's interesting.
And if you're an unpublishable author who wants to dispute nothing but madness, go on over to Ball Pit.
Yay!
It's BLLP.IT.
I think I also learned that it's really hard to be both original and intelligible. Like, the concepts we found that I'd never seen before were absurd to the point of, like, almost not being interpretable. Like, they didn't seem as though there was any sort of story that could evolve from that that would make a lick of sense. Whereas the ones that, you know, had some level of flow and setup and story were, in some cases, really directly taken from other books or other works of media.
Yeah, I passed over so much stuff when I was putting this document together because I would go to the romance or a suspense section and I'd think, okay, this is going to have some terrible stuff. It was all competently written and completely redundant and worthless as a creative expression.
Hey, don't dish on my masterpiece, 50 Shades of Brown.
What?
Oh, no!
That's an entirely different episode.
Oh, God.
No!
And you can also go to theremin.us if you want to download the podcast.
if you want a place that's intellectually bankrupt and redundant, go on over to thefmn.us.
Come on over to thiefman.us.
Thiefman!
There you can find our episodes, links to our Twitter and our Patreon. And speaking of Patreon, wanted to go ahead and thank our $10 patrons. Our honorary snakes for this episode are Steve Kolesnik, Pax Moraporkia, and Grass Dragon. So thanks a lot, guys. Of course, you can go to our Patreon. We're under extra credit. And you can become a patron, too! Yay! And, yeah. Go there.
Or don't.
Or
no.
Just don't. Read it. I don't know.
The Ebola epidemic could end up costing $32 billion.
Okay.
Dispersed the neighborhoods of West Africa. PIS, New Diamonds, NOTV, News of the Day, Local News.
It's expanding.
October 9th, 2014, Elon Musk, Tesla's new the D, which can go from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds.
Oh man, it always happens that right after we stop recording, I find the intro bumper that I should have used, or the blurb I should have used. For instance, the rooster cockadude searches for an eerie suppository with magic healing powers to cure his dying father, the mega fascist dictator of a pop psycho Arcadia.